Our scripture reading for this morning is the story of Jesus' baptism. We'll be reading this morning from Mark, first chapter from the Message translation. John the Baptizer appeared in the wild, preaching a baptism of life change that leads to forgiveness of sins. People thronged to him from Judea and Jerusalem, and as they confessed their sins, were baptized by him in the Jordan River into a changed life. John wore a camel hair habit tied at the waist with a leather belt. He ate locusts and wild field honey. As he preached, he said, "The real action comes next. The star in this drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will change your life. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. His baptism, a holy baptism by the Holy Spirit, will change you from the inside out." At this time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. The moment he came out of the water, he saw the sky split open and God's Spirit, looking like a dove, come down on him. Along with the Spirit, a voice, "You are my son, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life." This ends our reading from Scripture. May we be blessed with understanding. And I just now realized that all the words were up there. Yeah. We learn this dance anew in each congregation that I come to, so that's what it is. Will you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I have to admit to you today the sin of holy envy. Envy for those traditions that really get into baptism, that really understand the power of water. When Middleton Church was designing their new building, I had advocated strongly that we put in a hot tub. I said it was for youth activities, but really what I wanted it for was to have the opportunity for full immersion baptism. I really, really wanted that. Because only when you really get under the water, only when you're really pulled down and sort of feel that pressure on your lungs and get anxious about where you are and if you're going to come up out of the water, do you really get the full feel for what that means? When I was about 4 years old, my family was visiting my godparents in Newton, Iowa at Maytag Park. There was a public pool at Maytag Park, and we were all swimming in it. And I had an inner tube that I was lounging in. And I don't really know what happened, but the next thing I know is that I'm on the side of the pool and people are pumping water out of my lungs. My dad thinks maybe I had fallen asleep and floated down through the middle of that little inner tube. I don't know. And I wasn't really scared until people told me that they were scared, and then I was really scared. But it's that experience of being immersed in water. My son also had an experience. He has had some physical struggles since he was young. He has muscular dystrophy and uses a power wheelchair now to get around. He loved to swim as a young child. As a boy, he could run and ride his bike and swim and jump, and he was very full of life and active. Ken and John know. We spent a week with them up in Washington Island, thank you. And he loved to swim. But at some point, his ability to feel comfortable in the water changed. And he is no longer able to feel that if he ends up face down, that he has the physical strength and ability to right himself. So he no longer gets in the lake, he no longer gets in a swimming pool. He'll still go aboard. So we still have that. But it's that fear of not being able to breathe that changes you. I like the way the message talks about this is a life-altering, a life-transforming baptism. Because so often we don't really think about our baptism in that way. So often our lives aren't really transformed. One of the reasons that I'm here is because my life was transformed. Not in a church, but in the halls of Monsanto in St. Louis. I was in a business meeting, getting ready for a big trip to the USDA to talk about one of our products. And this meeting was not going the way that I had envisioned it going. I was relatively new to this whole leadership thing, right? And having responsibility at that level. And things were starting to unravel. Questions were being asked that we didn't necessarily have all the data to support, and I was feeling frustrated and vulnerable. And at the end of that meeting, I felt like I couldn't go on. I didn't belong there. I was way out of my league. And I sent this email off at the late at night, which is never a good idea. Just saying, I can't do this. This is dumb. I feel really just absolutely unable and unworthy to do this. And I got a response back from one of the regulatory folks, and he's like, just breathe. It's okay. Everything will be fine. We'll get this data. It'll be good. Don't worry about it. You're doing great. So the next time I saw him, I asked, I said, Phil, how is it that you can go into a meeting like this with all of this charged activity and things unraveling in the moment and keep your head and not get frustrated and not react and not be angry? And his response was, because God loves me. I'm like, yeah, okay. That's about the lamest thing I've ever heard. And I said, well, yeah, I know God loves me too, but what does that have to do with anything? And he said, well, I go to church and I learn that God loves me. I go to church too. And he explained it this way. He said, every day when I get up, I know three things are true. My wife loves me, my children love me, and God loves me. Now, during the course of any particular day, any of those first two may not be true by the time I get home. But God always loves me. And it's that love that says that it doesn't matter what I accomplish or not accomplish, what I do or not do, what I am able to achieve or not achieve, who I am in anyone else's eyes. That makes all the difference. It was the very first time I had ever thought of my faith. And I've been going to church since I was... That wasn't just up here, but it was in here. That there is something transformative of knowing that you are loved beyond anything else. That your identity as a child of God is worth more than any other label that might be put upon you. And that is primarily why I'm here today. It started a cascade of things that in my life that brought me to this place and time. It was a watershed moment, a pivotal moment, just like Jesus walking into that water that day. How many other days had he come to the lakeshore? How many other times has he seen John baptize other people? Why was this moment pivotal? Why that day? But everything changed after that day. From that point on, his ministry became public. He became a teacher. He became an agitator. He became a lover out loud and in public. And it cost him his life. And then he was resurrected. And now he is here in this room, in each and every one of us. The importance of this baptismal story today is that we are here as the church, as the body of Christ. We have come out into this water. You have waded into this water of change, not necessarily because you wanted it, but because it was time for Winton to do something else. So we are here together, and the sand underneath our feet is shifting, and it can be scary and vulnerable. But we are here. And I'm feeling an awful lot like John the Baptist, completely unworthy of the task, but trusting and knowing that we walk this path together, trusting and knowing that we are, that when we come up out of the water of baptism, that the Holy Spirit is there to shine upon us. Because there is work to be done, and God is not done with you. As a scientist by training, one of the quotes that just is embedded in my heart and soul is this one from Gus Speth, who is an environmental lawyer and advocate. I used to think the top environmental problems were biodiversity loss, ecosystem collapse, and climate change. I thought that with 30 years of good science, we could address those problems. But I was wrong. The top environmental problems are selfishness, greed, and apathy. And to deal with those, we need a cultural and spiritual transformation. And we scientists don't know how to do that. We in the church do know how to do that. We know where that transformation comes from. We have experienced it in our lives. And if you just do the math, there are a whole lot more people like Phil than there are clergy in the world. And so our job is for each and every one of us to be that point of transformation in our world, in our culture, with our neighbors and our coworkers. We are not here for us. We are not here to simply be nice, though sometimes nice would be a good change. But that's dreaming way too small. We are here to be transformed so that we can transform our world. Sisters and brothers, we are standing in the water. Let us look up and find the Spirit that blows through all things and will renew us in this time. Amen.